This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on August 1st, 2007. If you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next item on our agenda is a report of the Audit Division on the Ted Poe for Congress matter. We have Martin Favin, Joe Stoltz, and Terrence O'Brien from the Staff Director's Office from our Audit Division. A return appearance on this one. Gentlemen, welcome. Please proceed.
Okay. As you know, there were four recommendations in the final audit report, three of which the committee corrected by filing the appropriate amendments. And the third finding is on the documentation of receipts, which is the finding that the commission has been considering for a week or so about whether the bank, having the checks maintained by the bank is acceptable for the record keeping regulation. And we'll take any questions, Mr. Chairman, at this point.
Thank you. This is, and if others want to speak out first, otherwise I will proceed, this being my something that I'd spoken about a fair amount before. I appreciate everybody's indulgence, and I want to express a particular appreciation to the audit staff for the efforts they have made speaking with me and especially with my staff in the time since we last got here as we tried to sort this through. And I think that this has highlighted a whole range of sort of issues related to the use of sampling and the procedures that we use in auditing that are important and I think well worth further consideration and discussion by the commission. I think that this case probably presents a reasonably poor format to proceed in thinking through some of those issues and discussing those issues for a whole range of reasons. One is that regardless of how we come out, my sense is it doesn't have an effect on this particular matter. This particular finding is below our thresholds, and so no matter what conclusion we reached in all of this, it would not be proceeding to the Office of General Counsel for further action, and so there isn't anything particularly pressing about this. In addition, my understanding is that the sampling technique, the particular sampling technique that is was used in this case, is either in the process of being phased out or has been phased out in future matters, and therefore, to a certain extent, it's addressing a procedure that is really, if not no longer in place, fast on its way to no longer being in place, and therefore is probably not as constructive for us to parse through how we want to handle matters under our forward-looking procedures as it would be to address those questions separately. And lastly, my sense is that the audit staff also believes that on this particular matter of the checks at the bank, that if at the end of the day were to provide the sample and list to the committee and the committee were to produce these documents, that they really don't believe that there is any reasonable likelihood of there being any sort of fundamental problems that underlie this particular matter in the committee's records, and therefore, to a certain extent, it would be not particularly useful as a use of their time to proceed and collect these particular sample records and cross-reference them. The record review they've done so far, I think my impression is, has left them with a reasonable degree of confidence that further or more significant problems will not be revealed by a more thorough examination of these particular records. So for all of those reasons, my suggestion is that at this matter we make a series of small amendments to the revised agenda document that Mr. Stoltz and his staff have forwarded to us. And my proposal would be in the summary to delete the last sentence, which says that absent the production of the records for inspection, the bank's maintenance of the contributor check copies does not comply with the regulations and leave the wrestling of that issue to a later matter, and instead insert some text that we used in a number of the presidential audits when we reached matters that we couldn't reach a clear resolution on, and insert instead a text which reads, "The Commission voted to receive this finding without any determination on the merits of the analysis of the facts or interpretation of the law contained therein." This would allow us to bring this particular matter to a close, allow our audit staff to move on to other pending audits, and to allow the Commission to sort of think through how we want to address the issue of sampling and sampling failures in those areas where they will be more relevant to our ongoing work. So that was my thoughts, my suggestion, and I'd be happy to hear either from our auditors to the degree that I'm wrong on any of that, or from the other commissioners as to their thoughts about that as a method or path upon which to proceed. Mr. Stoltz.
I think that's a reasonable solution to this particular situation, and as you say, we can deal with larger issues in a non-case-specific context. Probably a better way to do it.
Okay. Commissioner Von Spakovsky?
Mr. Chairman, I approve of the language amendment you're making on this, but I want to ask a question, because I don't want to hold this up. We've already held this over, and we obviously want to get this done. But my question is this. Right before the change you want to make, where we delete the sentence that starts absent the production and add another one, you know, right before that has a sentence that reads, TPC also provided several contributor check copies it had recently obtained from its bank as samples, comma, but did not provide the majority of the missing records. Now, if I understood correctly all of our prior discussions about this, the whole concern there was the fact that, yeah, they didn't produce the missing records, but I thought the problem was we did not tell them specifically which records we wanted them to produce. And if that's correct, then if we leave that last phrase in, but did not provide the majority of the missing records, when we didn't tell them what the records were they needed to produce, it gives the impression to anyone reading this audit that the committee didn't cooperate with us. Whereas I don't think that's the problem, if that's correct. The problem is we didn't exactly tell them which records we wanted. So if that assumption is correct, that that's in fact what happened, shouldn't we take out that last phrase about not providing the majority of the missing records? Now, that's my question.
Certainly. No, it's well put. My impression, and Mr. Stoltz can correct me, is that this was not a reference to the sampling error, but to the larger universe of records. But
it is a reference to the larger universe. And though we did not provide the specific sample items we were looking for, we did provide a list of missing deposits that the records were not available for.
And so my impression was that this particular turn of phrase wasn't linked to the sample that produced the particular checks that produced the 19% sample, but referred more broadly. That said, you know, so that was sort of my sense, but it may be that but we could also proceed in a different way if you'd like.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the problem with that is, I mean, the sentence before is talking about contributor checks. I mean, the first part of the sentence is talking about, we're saying here we didn't, the missing records we asked them for specifically were certain deposits. But what we're talking about there is contributor checks, so it gives the impression that it was the contributor checks copies that they didn't provide to us. But I thought those were the ones where we didn't specifically tell them which ones we wanted.
Well, the deposits were made up of contributions, or at least we're pretty sure they were made up of contributions. So they were deposits of contributor checks that were not among the records available at the time of the field work.
We need every vote on this one today. So if you'd like to, Vice Chairman Mason.
Yeah, I agree with the chairman's disposition here, and there is a problem in the sense that if the Poe Committee was relying on the bank to keep its records, and an audit came out and drew a sample, then the Poe Committee needed to produce those records, and they didn't do that. And interestingly, they didn't fail to do that apparently because they were unable. They failed to do it because it would have been very expensive to request all of the missing deposit items and have the bank go back and find those and produce them. And so in that sense, I'm not bothered by saying, hey, you know, some of these records weren't here. The problem that I had was, well, then what? Because in this particular context, after going through the records that were there and the records that were produced and so on, I think we're satisfied that the committee could produce the records, and we're also satisfied that the risk, and that's what audits are all about, is not 100% check of everything, but the risk of material problems in that subset of missing records was very, very low. And so in this particular case, I don't think there's anything to be gained by requiring the committee to go to a very large expense of going back and producing 100% of the records. But as a factual matter, they didn't provide 100% of the missing records. And so that's, you know, it didn't bother me to say that. But to go on and in essence say in this case that's simply not a a material violation because it doesn't appear to mask the absence of records or the wanton failure to keep them, nor does it tend to indicate a big risk that there's a violation, a substantive underlying violation that we can't find.
Okay. Further comments? Commissioner Walther, any thoughts on this matter?
Yeah, I mean, I will support the recommendation of the chairman, but in this case, but I am concerned that we can't define for ourselves exactly to what degree we are requiring the sample of documents that we can't identify when we know we can locate them by getting on the computer and pulling them off the account. In other words, most of us, if you have a bank that makes a photocopy of your checks and that's all, at some banks, I had one bank that gives you a statement back with a photocopy of the check but not the check. But the other one, you can just go on and get it. And so I'm wondering, is the problem the fact that it's going to require the audit staff to get on the computer and search the database at the bank, but could do so remotely by a computer? You just get on the computer and you scroll through the transactions until you want one, and you press a button, you get a photocopy of it, and you can do that without giving advance notice to the candidate or the committee of which particular item you're looking for. But if you're saying, I'm more interested in the deposit of a certain date, for example, I don't know what indicia it is when you cull out certain documents that you want, whether it's by date or whatever, but you can identify that well enough so that you could, if you had access to the computer, whether at the committee or if they gave you you know, the code word to get in and look at it, would that, Mr. Stoltz, not solve the problem? In other words, if they said, okay, Mr. Stoltz, you don't have all these things, but here's a computer and here's the password, now go ahead and scroll and you press this button here and you get a photocopy of it. Would that work?
Oh, that would work fine. And it, more commonly, though, unless you have made some sort of an arrangement in advance, that works for checks that the committee issues. In most cases, it doesn't work as well for checks that an account holder has deposited. Those are usually a little more difficult to get. If it was as simple as, you know, scrolling through, that, you know, that would solve the problem. There are arrangements that can be made with banks. We've done a little scratching around in the weeks since this first came up, where you do have that kind of access, but it's something that needs to be set up in advance with your bank, And in fact, there's one floating around where you actually make the deposits directly from your office in your computer, and you don't even have to go to the bank to drop them off. And then you have access to 2 years' worth of your deposited items over a secure internet connection. That would be great. And then they can be, if you need them for longer than 2 years, you can download them, copy them to CDs, and store them. That's not the situation we had here.
Technology will ride to the rescue.
Yes.
It will get solved. All right, well, I will support the recommendation of the chairman in this case. I'd like to say whatever outcome of this debate is, it wouldn't affect the outcome of the audit and what we would do with it.
Okay. Thank you. Vice Chairman Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of the final audit report with the revised finding 3 set forth in agenda document 0748A with as further revised as described by the chairman to delete the last sentence in the summary section and insert instead the commission voted to receive this finding without any determination on the merits of the analysis or the facts or the interpretation of the law contained therein.
Very good. The vice chairman is so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Madam Secretary, the vice chairman's motion has been adopted by a vote of 4-0.